were to take over, we'd be here till 9, but we'll be out in about 10 minutes, maybe. Amen. But I do feel that God has something that he wants to do here tonight. I believe, and I was praying, and I was totally lined up to preach, honestly, two completely different other things, and I kept switching and kept switching. And I was finding it very difficult to find the mind and the vein of God. And I was like, God, you're scaring me. Like, we're a couple minutes from service. I don't know what to preach. And I kept praying, and part of me wanted just to break out of prayer and go to the office and just try to maybe find something that I've done before. But then I just got it in my mind. I'm like, God, I need it. I want to find the mind of God. And it was like right then, just when I made my mind up, God spoke to me, and I feel like there's something he wants to do. I hope you came with an expectancy here tonight. I hope you came expecting God to do something, because what you expect is what you're going to get. And if you came with a need and you're expecting your need to get answered, then your need's going to get answered. I have no question in my mind that that's going to happen. But if you came with a need and you said, God, Mike can do it, about 10 times out of 10, your need's not going to get answered, because you're questioning God. You're questioning what he can do. You don't have that faith. You don't believe it for yourself. So if you came expecting something, I'm going to expect right beside you, and we're going to see God do a work here tonight. Yeah. Amen. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garment. That's significant right there. They say that typically in those days that beggars had a defining garment. It signified that, hey, I'm a beggar. So right here, the miracle still has not been done yet. But right here, he cast away his garment. He's no longer identifying as a beggar. He rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, there was no delayed reaction. There was no hesitancy. There was no couple days later. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. For a short little bit of time, it's a one word. You might not understand it right away. Some of you might. But I just want to preach to you grit. Grit. Just for a short period of time. If you can put your Bibles down and ask God to move here. Ask God to increase our faith here tonight. Increase our faith, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. And for a little bit of these, I'm kind of going to be glancing down a lot, and you'll understand right after this very next sentence. But for about 8 years, I have been trying to get to read this book that was given to me when I graduated high school. That was 8 years ago. That's terrible on my part, because I have not read it. It was given to me as a graduation gift. And the title of the book is Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. And it was before we went on our trip to Europe, I turned this book over probably for the fifth or sixth time, and I read the summary of it. I'm like, man, this would have been really good if I would have read it before I would have got married, right after I would have graduated. It would have helped me a lot. But I procrastinated. I still have not read it to this day. I have read some of it, but it has taken me 8 years to finally to get to cracking this book open and actually reading it. And one of the reasons why I stopped is because there's no pictures in it. And I like a good book with pictures. But it's written by she has a doctorate in psychology. And immediately that's another one that turns me away is I hate psychology. I took a psychology class in college and it did not go well. I hated every bit of it. It was awful. And so when I saw psychology in this book as well, when I grabbed it for a second time, it made me put it away. And I wanted to have nothing to do with it. I even took it on our trip to Europe. I had it full night. I had great intentions of reading this book, like when we're settling down in the hotel after we had a night, you know, on out whatever it was, Prague or whatever, you know, break this book open, maybe read a chapter or a couple pages. And that book went on my backpack and it stayed in my backpack and it never left my backpack until I put souvenirs on top of it to try to make room. And so finally, I got to touching this book called Grit. And I've told my friend about it, and I've talked about it, but even here recently reading about it, the author, she starts by wanting to dedicate her time to find how high achievers are successful. And it all came down to the conclusion that they had passion and perseverance. And this is what she refers, and honestly what the West Point Academy refers to as grit. Grit is measurable. Grit is passion and perseverance. These people who stood out were the best at what they were was because they had grit. That was her simple conclusion. That was chapter one. That's as far as I've gotten still is chapter one. But even just reading chapter one, that it kind of built something because she built it up. And she said all these cadets at West Point Academy, they go through so much. It's an Army Academy. You can get other degrees and stuff through it, but it doesn't matter what degree you're going through. You need to have grit to go there. Even when the first time there, she talks about how there are 14,000 people who start applying for West Point Academy at 11th grade. Out of 14,000, I think it is somewhere around 4,000 to 5,000 only move on to the next stage. And from there, only 2,500 of them make it to the next level. And on those 2,500, they all have to take what is called a grit test. Because when other colleges, when you go to get accepted, some of them require ACT scores. Some require SAT scores. Others wants you to take certain placement exams and see how you do and all that stuff. But West Point Academy wants to know, do you have grit? You can be going for chemistry, but do you have grit? So this is a day in the life of somebody going through what they call Beast Barracks, through West Point Academy, Beast Barracks. At 5 a.m., they wake up. By 5:30, they need to be out in formation. 5:30 to 6:55 a.m., physical training. 6:55 to 7:25, personal maintenance. 7:30 to 8:15, breakfast. 8:30 to 12:45, training and classes. 1 to 1:45 is lunch. 2 is more training and classes. 2 to 3:45, training and more classes. 4 to 5:30, organized athletics. 5:30 to 5:55 is personal maintenance. 6 to 6:45 is dinner. 7 to 9 p.m., training and more classes. And 9 to 10 p.m., commander's time. And bed at 10, lights out, or what they call taps. That's why you need to have grit. Grit. So she said this schedule is what caused all the cadets to have grit. Nothing else mattered. That's why SAT scores, they don't matter. Your high school, how good you were, how smart you were, Honestly, she said, most of the people who are accepted into this West Point Academy were captain of the football teams, captains of whatever their sport might have been, they're captains. And most of them, only 2,500 make it. And even then, when they start going through school, she said they start dropping out because they don't have the grit. Some of the best football players drop out because they can't take what's going on. But these 2,500 stood out from the 14,000 that first applied. The author would go back to West Point Academy to do studies each year, and she would want to see who would stay and who wouldn't stay. One year she did her study and 71 cadets dropped out of the academy. Returning the following year, doing the exact same study, 62 cadets dropped out that time. In her study, for every time she realized, she went back for one thing. And she realized one thing, and that's what I just said. SAT didn't matter between these people. Not, their high school didn't matter. Their money didn't matter. What mattered was that these cadets had grit to make it through the academy. Grit. 4 years. I did a little bit more reading on it, and when these cadets are going through school and they're about to get accepted and they're about to go over to West Point Academy, they get a 90-second goodbye to their parents. 90 seconds. And by the time that 90 seconds is over, they said there is a fourth-year cadet in there. Come on. I want you standing up to my line. Information up to my line. And she said he even would go, I don't want you on my line, over my line, or behind my line. I want you up to my line. And it's starting right there already. Right after the goodbye, they have 90 seconds of it. And then I was going through the website, and they even have booklets. And there's a little link at the top, and it says, to the parents. And you do it, and it's just a multi-page book to try to help you cope with your baby being over at West Point Academy. Because there's no communication with them while they're there. You might get a little bit of time here and there, but they have no connection to the outside world. There is no communication with their family. It's grit. They truly need grit. Living for God does not matter, child of God, how smart you are. And if you made excellent grade in school, that does not matter at all. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. I don't care what you have or what you have to offer. You do need grit to live for God. You need the passion to live for God. You need the perseverance to live for God. It's too easy to drop by the wayside and just try to live for God half-heartedly. Because if you don't have that grit, the devil's going to take a look at that. He's going to want to attack you both ways. And he's going to try to make you fall out of the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It takes the passion and perseverance to get down inside of you and to live for God no matter what. If you get a passion living for God, you will love it. And you will live for everything that it takes from inside of you. It doesn't matter the storms that are going on. If you've got that grit, you're going to keep living for God. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter who's going to talk about you. It doesn't matter what you go through. If you've got that grit, you will live for God. If you say, I don't care, I've got the grit to live for God. Passion and perseverance. Passion and perseverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There are all too many who try to live for God easy. And they do not have the grit, and they fall by the wayside because they didn't have passion and perseverance. We talked about the Apostle Paul this morning, and I'm going to go over a little bit of what he had, of what he went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, this is a man in the Bible who had grit. If anybody had grit, the Apostle Paul had grit. He had passion and perseverance. Verse number 24, and it says, of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwrecks. A night and a day have I been in the deep, and journeyings often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in the perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching oftens, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, and the care of all the churches. This man had everything going against him. If he had an opportunity to stop living for God, it was the Apostle Paul. If he had everything that was coming against him, and if he did not have that grit, he had every opportunity to live for God. But there was a passion and a perseverance in him to keep on keeping on. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and number 7. This is another reason you need passion and perseverance. He refers to it as a fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. We can't live for God half-heartedly because it is a fight. We can't do it with easiness. I've heard if you live for God easy, then it's going to be hard. But if you live for God hard, then it's going to be easy. You're still going to go through trials, but they're going to be a bit easier than if you were to go without living for God hard. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. We have to persevere each and every day. We need grit when it comes living for God. 11,500 of the other cadets were dropped off back at high school because they didn't have that grit. The recruiters didn't see that grit. These 11,500 didn't stand out. They didn't register with them as somebody who was going to be able to push through this college. Somebody that was going to be successful and make it through to what it has. They made a point in their mind, the other 2,500, saying, I will make it through. The author of the book said that when she would go and see, everybody would be different. But the ones who fell out didn't have grit. The others, they were being worn out day out, day in and day out. But they had the passion and the perseverance that no matter what it takes, I'm going to make it through this school. No matter what it takes, I will persevere. I don't care what I'm going through or what's being pushed on me. I'm going to make it through. And there's times living for God is like that. There's times it's tough. There's times it's really difficult to see the other side of ugly. But at the same time, if we just make up our mind that this ain't going to bother me, God, I'm going to persevere and make it to the end. I'm going to persevere and make it all the way. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The definition of perseverance is a persistence in doing something despite the difficulty or delay in achieving success. I thought that definition was great. Despite the difficulty, despite everything that's going against you, I've got to persevere for success. To persevere for success. I'm going to go through a couple stories here in the Bible. The woman with the issue of blood, she had grit. She had perseverance. If you can take a step aside and look at me from a different angle, let's look at everyone else. Let's look at the crowd, because there was a great crowd thronging him that day. Let's look at him. She had this issue of blood, I believe it was for 12 years. No doctors had a remedy. No doctors knew what was going on. They couldn't heal her. They couldn't fix the disease. But she heard of a Savior who could heal her. And she said, if I only can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And there's other people that are standing nearby. They're listening to what God had to say. But there was somebody with perseverance. There was somebody with passion who was wanting to get that touch that day. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, as a child of God, you've got to stand out. If you really want what you need, you're going to stand out. You'll push and you'll fight for it. Jesus' name, you need to persevere for your miracle. You need some grit for what you need. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Mark 5:27, it says, and when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed from the plague. And in 5:34, we know that God looks around and he says, whoa, hold up, stop. Who touched me? Who touched me? And his disciples kind of laughed and said, God, what are you saying? You're crazy. There are thousands of people around you. There's hundreds of people around you. Why are you seeing who touched you? And he said, I felt virtue flow from my body. There was something different about who just touched me. She was standing out from the crowd. She was doing something different that nobody had the grit to do. But she had the grit to touch Jesus' garment. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be healed of the plague. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh God, oh God. I'm coming close to an end here, but I want to know, does anybody here have grit? Does anybody here have perseverance? Does anybody here have the passion? In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. I know there are needs. We're all human. I know there's needs. I know there's miracles. I know something needs to happen. I know somebody needs an answer. But I want to know, are you willing to stand out for your miracle? Are you willing to do something that you've never done for your miracle? Oh, there's going to be people jumping. There's going to be people shouting. There's going to be people praying as well. But are you going to stand out? But are you going to do something different? Are you going to try to stand out from the crowd to get your miracle? In Jesus' name, well, let's stand here tonight. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, there were three Hebrew children who were captives in Babylon. They chose to stand out from the crowd. They didn't bow down like everyone else. And they had a mighty miracle. There was a mighty miracle wrought through them. Daniel decided to stand out from the crowd. And there was a mighty miracle wrought through Daniel. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Do you have the faith and the willingness to stand out from everyone else? Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, as we're praying and Sister Sarah begins to play. Oh, God. In our text, we see blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. He was just a beggar. He was just a beggar. That's all he was. And he was sitting aside. He might have stood out already. But what started standing him apart? I promise you, there was all the people around him needing some answers. I believe there was a lot of people all around Jesus who were needing some answers. And the opposition even started telling blind Bartimaeus to shut up. They started telling blind Bartimaeus, yeah, you're silly, man. Stop talking. Jesus is trying to move. And blind Bartimaeus says, no, I've got a problem. I've got a healing. You can sit there with your problem. You can sit there with your need. But I'm going to stand out. I'm going to persevere with my answer. Jesus.